Thank you for joining me today. This is the Life After 30 podcast, and I am your host, Joey Hernandez. I have been a personal trainer and diet coach for over 30 years. Together each week, we will explore the joys of aging. And yes, I said the joys of aging, because that is truly what it can be. Please join me as we discuss our health, diet, weight loss, fitness, and many other topics as we move through the decades of our lives. We may be getting older, but we ain't going down without a fight. Hey there, folks. You know, each year, the personal training and gym business goes through a cycle. In all my 30 years of working in this field, I have always seen the same pattern occur. Now, everyone has heard about New Year's resolutions. They can be about a variety of things, but almost always they are tied to losing weight and beginning an exercise program, with the participant often joining a gym or health club for the first time, or possibly returning after a period off. These New Year's resolutions are notorious in the gym and training business. Starting approximately the first Monday following New Year's Day until about mid-February is the busiest time that a health club will have for new memberships, and personal trainers shall be sought out to work with new clients. This time of the year, is the bread and butter of the exercise industry. In addition to the health club facilities and trainers reaping the benefits of the new year, it also extends out to the diet programs and weight loss supplements. As you watch television, you are inundated with advertisements of all sorts relating to help you lose weight and get in shape. Then from mid-February until approximately when the good weather of the spring starts, usually towards the end of April, the exercise industry sees a drop-off. Many people have done their New Year's resolution attempts, and by mid-February, they've already given up. But once that good weather comes, people panic that swimsuit season is not far off. So then from the end of April till about the beginning of June, we will see another spurt of interest. Following that starts the summer vacation time, and by then people feel that they have already made whatever progress is possible, and as they plan their vacation time, they also plan to enjoy themselves to their maximum, including consumption of delicious summertime food. Throughout the summer is the slowest time for gyms and health clubs and personal trainers. It is not uncommon to see the trainers work a different job during the summer because it becomes so difficult to maintain income during this time when people don't want to commit to anything due to their vacation plans. And then once again, come right after Labor Day, people start thinking about the holiday season and seeing family and friends that possibly they haven't seen for quite a while. So rather than appear as a bloated, aged person to these people they haven't seen, once again, the interest is sparked and we see a rise in memberships and clients. And one last time, it falls off, starting just before Thanksgiving until the first of the year, while people indulge themselves in food and drink and merriment. Now we are about to hit that after Labor Day season. It was the start of the summer of 2005 when my personal training business was slower that I looked into expanding my work in the field. This podcast is about my experiences working for one of the four large weight loss companies that you often see advertised on TV, and the training, marketing, and behind-the-scenes information that I was exposed to during my year-long employment with one of these established institutions. Podcast number 69 of the new Life After 30 podcast, the reboot of the previous Human Construction Site podcast. So I have to do a little bit of marketing here. Starting this week, it is easier than ever to sign up with a subscription to the Life After 30 podcast. If you go to the blog listing, which is lifeafter30podcast.blogspot.com, you will see new information at the top of the podcast blog that explains the different subscription options and directs you to sign up links that appear on the right side of the blog. Please join me by subscribing. Whenever there is new content or a new episode, you will be notified either through email, if you choose that option, or through a reader service or an iTunes subscription. We are now approaching mid-August, and that means the fall season is just a few weeks away. Possibly, you might consider joining one of those large weight loss companies as you will begin to regularly see commercials in between your favorite television programs for these companies starting right after Labor Day. So rather than you just blindly signing up with one of these companies because their marketing strategies are drawing you slowly in, give a listen to this podcast, and I will give you the inside track on what that industry is really all about. So now, on to our main topic, an insider's view of the large weight loss companies. Weird sounding lady, please give me my countdown. So I was sitting in my home one day, and one of the commercials came on for one of the large weight loss companies. And I'm not specifically going to name the company that I worked for, but I can tell you that other people that trained with me at the same time for this company had worked for other companies, other of the big companies that you see advertised, and they were telling me that basically everything was the same. So as I explain this, this is my particular experience at my particular weight loss company that I worked for, but I had heard through the industry that most of them are exactly alike. So it was just before Memorial Day. It was slowing down. I saw this advertisement on TV, and I thought, this would be a really great field to go into, because one of my favorite things to do in training is to counsel people on their diet and in their nutrition. And I thought about it for a few days before I did any kind of application to the company. And I was walking around through Boston, and I was just kind of running it through my mind what it would be like. I'd be in this office, and clients would come in, and I'd meet with them. They'd come in, and I would be able to impart all of the information that I had gathered through the years on diet and nutrition and design a program specifically for them. And I was really excited about the possibility of doing that. So I applied for the position in the company, just a part-time position, and during the interview, I found out that my envisionment of being able to sit with a client for 30 minutes or 60 minutes and really counsel them about the problems that they have with dieting in the past, finding out information about themselves and their family, how we could put together food that would please both them and anyone else that they have to feed. I really had envisioned this amazing hour-long meeting with a person and really one-on-one getting to know them and really helping them, really helping their personal needs and really tailoring it to their personal needs. But when I was interviewing, I found out that that's really not the case. It was explained to me that this particular company had food that was prepared that we sold to the clients. And yes, there would be some counseling and getting to know them and being able to pass some of my personal views on, but I would find out more about that in the training. So I accepted the position. It was going to be 16 to 20 hours a week. It was going to fluctuate. It was very low pay. It was going to be $5 and some change per hour, but we were going to get a percentage of the food sales that we did. At the time, the money wasn't tremendously important to me. I was only looking for maybe a couple $100 a week extra just to get me through this summer season of training that was so slow. So I went and accepted it, went to the training. The initial training for the consultant position that I was taking was a 5-day, 8-hour-a-day training. I started it, and first of all, I was one of only two men in this class of about 30 or so people that were training. The company held these trainings every other week for new consultants to come in and train, and it was an office that took care of all of Massachusetts and actually a little bit outside of Massachusetts. So there were people traveling quite a bit to get to these classes that were held in a city called Brockton, Massachusetts. So the first 5 days or so, we were taught specifically about the food and about the various program options that people had. Once I had gone through my initial interview with the manager of the branch that I was going to be working at, and she liked me, I was then passed on to interview with an area manager that managed all of the eastern part of the United States. So I had gone to that interview, and the person was quite frosty. She definitely had an attitude about things. I don't know if it was because I'm a guy. I don't know, really, based on me getting to know her as I worked for the company. I'm not really sure why she had that frosty attitude, but she always did throughout my history of working for the company, had this kind of weird attitude with me. So we sat down in the lobby of a hotel for that part of the interview, and she looked over my resume, and she was asking me about, well, if a client came to you and said such and such, what would be your response? And I would say, well, I would tell them, da da da, and she'd stop me and go, no, I want you to speak to me as if you're speaking directly to the client. And I'd be, okay. And so we were kind of role-playing this part, which ended up being a big part of the overall training for the company, where you did role-playing, where one of you would be the client and one of you would be the consultant, and you would discuss different ideas and different problems that would come up. So in this interview with this Eastern United States manager, at one point she asked me about timing of food. And I told her, you know, in my practice of personal training, I have always found it useful to tell people to try not to eat after 8 o'clock p.m. if you can help it, because those excess calories, because you're probably not going to be burning them off between 8 p.m. and your bedtime, that you're just going to have that excess calories laying in you. And that's going to be a better chance that that could convert to body fat if you do that on a regular basis. So I told her that my personal view was around 8 o'clock p.m. is when someone should be pretty much done with their meals for the day. And she said, well, let me tell you, that's not the view of our company. And I said, okay. She said, you know, they have certain meals spread throughout the day of our food. And if the person wanted to, they could wait all day long, not eat, and eat all of the food if they wanted at 8 and 9 o'clock p.m. It wouldn't matter, because our view is the calories are the calories, and it doesn't matter when they ingest them in the 24-hour period. So I was very surprised by that. That is not certainly something that anyone would want to do. You're not supposed to starve yourself and then pig out a lot of calories at any one time. But also it slows down your metabolism if you're not eating these small meals spread throughout the day. And you've heard me talk endlessly about that in the various diet podcasts that I've done. So I was a little bit hesitant about that. So I said to her, well, is it okay if I tell the person what I believe? You know, the experience that I've had in almost 20 years at the time of doing this. And she said, no, you can't. You have to learn what our company says, and you have to say that. So right off, a little red flag went off. But, you know, I wanted to keep an open mind. I wanted to see how this worked. So I accepted the position, and I started in my five-day class. And throughout the 5 days, we spent the first 3 days or so learning about the food itself, tasting the food, because we were holding it at one of the offices of the company where people would come to do their consultation and get their food. So we tried out the various foods. We would talk about the different programs that people could go on, because in addition to buying the food, you had to be a member on a program. And there were different levels of programs. We would always advertise the simplest one, which was a certain number of pounds for a certain dollar amount. And that was the cheapest way to get people into the door. But ultimately, our job was to try to upsell the people into longer memberships. And that was ingrained with us in the first 3 days, very, very strongly. The last 2 days of the training was only dealing with resistance. When we talk about the diet to someone, when we're explaining the program to them, when we're trying to get them to buy the food and to become a member, we were taught how to respond to every kind of obstacle that that person may tell to us. They don't have enough money. They have to check it out with their spouse. They don't know how their family would eat if they were going to eat on this program. We dealt with all of these different topics and how to overcome each of these things. So I will honestly tell you that during the 5 days, the red flags were still up for me. I was thinking, so we're going to be selling these people this food, and we're going to be counseling them, but we're going to be counseling them in a way to keep them on the program and using the food. And I asked at one point, am I correct in seeing that? And the response was, yes. Your job is to sell food. That's what your job is. We call you a consultant because you will sit and talk to the person about how their last week went and just talk to them about obstacles they may be having. And then you're going to have them order the food for the week. And there was a weigh-in for the people as well each time. So I was surprised by that, but I'm still thinking, well, that's okay, because if I have, you know, 45 minutes or an hour with a person, yeah, I can sell them the food the way the company wants me to do it. But at the same time, I'm going to have this ability to really talk to them. And if I can kind of sprinkle in my own views based on my personal training and the people that I've dealt with in weight loss, I've had clients, personal training clients, that have lost over 100 pounds and have managed to keep that weight off long term. So I felt that there was something valuable from my personal history, my personal work, that I could bring into this conversation with the clients. So at the end of the 5 days, I passed the test I was supposed to do. There was a written test about the information we had received, and then there was a one-on-one test where you had someone from the company that's worked for the company for a short while sit and be the customer, and you are the consultant, and we have this conversation, and we go about trying to get them to buy the food. And I've always been very easy to talk to. I talk to anybody about anything, in case you can't tell based on this podcast. I just sit and ramble on sometimes. So I had a very easy rapport with the person I was testing with, as well as I did with clients as I progressed in the company. I completed the 5 days, I passed it successfully, and the following Monday I was to start in my branch being a consultant for this company. So day number one, I go into the company, and there's a calendar book on a desk that the consultants, as well as sometimes the manager, as well as sometimes we have just a desk helper, will schedule people in this book for each of us. We had these columns, and they were broken down into 20-minute slots. When I first got there, of course, nobody knew who I was. I was a guy. Most of the clients were women, and some of them were hesitant to try out the new guy, so they stayed with someone else. But as time went along, the manager would book new people into my slots, or if someone was too busy to see their clients, they'd ask me, hey, can you see this person? But in the first few days, my calendar was pretty open. I could sit with a person, and I was spending about 30 minutes or so with each person. I felt it was a little short in time, but I got to weigh them. I got to talk quite a bit about the past and how things went for them this last week. And that took about 30 minutes. And then it took about 10 more minutes for me to go and to process the food that they wanted for the week, to get it out of the freezer and off the shelves and into bags and put it through the computer and get their payment. All of that took about 10 minutes. So here I was spending about 40 minutes with clients, feeling like I wasn't really having that much time with them, because just as the conversations would begin to open up a little bit, the client would feel a little bit more comfortable and start to talk about their personal issues with dieting, it was time to go and do the food. And that was a bit frustrating. So that was my experience the first 2 days I worked for the company. And I was only working part-time, so I was there, I think it was Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So Monday and Wednesday was, you know, I was spending about 40 minutes. It was a little tight, but it was doable. I come in on Saturday morning, which was a mandatory day for everyone in the company to work. There was no ways that you could take Saturdays off. So we come in Saturday, and that is the busiest day because people are not working and they have more time to come and do their appointments. So I come in and I look at the book, and sure enough, every 20-minute slot is filled for me through the day. So I go into my office, I'm getting ready, the first customer comes, I go, I introduce myself to them. Hi, I'm Joey. I'm going to be your consultant. This is really exciting because we're going to take this journey together. Won't this be fun? I mean, I was really into it. I was excited for the possibility of doing this. So the first thing we do is we go and we take them to the scale and we weigh them in. I weighed in the person. They are always usually disappointed with the weight that they see. That's just part of the deal at the beginning. And we were taught to not let the person not mention the weight. We wanted them to repeat to us what their weight was, to kind of really drill it into their head. This is how heavy I have gotten, and that's why I'm dieting. And that was really bothering me, because sometimes my clients, my personal training clients, don't want to weigh in because they don't feel like they've done very well the last week or so. And I've always, you know, told them, okay, if you want to skip 1 week, we can do that. But we got to get your weight every few weeks to track what's going on. And I do empathize with people doing that. There are days when I don't want to get on the scale. But it was part of the deal at this company. So I weighed them in. We went into our office, sat down, and I started asking them about their life and about their dieting history and what worked for them before and what did not work for them before. And then there was a knock on my door, and one of the other consultants stuck their head in and said, Joey, your next client is here. And I'm like, really? Oh, crap. Okay. So they left, and I said, okay, I'm sorry, we've got to move to the food order now. And I did the food order, and that took, again, about 10 minutes to process the food and get the payment. So by now, my next client is already 10 minutes into their session because I took too long with the last person. So I bring them in. I weigh them in. I start to go through the same thing. 5 minutes later, there's a knock on my door. Joey, your next client's here. I'm like, oh, crap, are you kidding me? So I very quickly learned that I could not spend hardly any time talking about any personal diet problems that people were having. And weighing them, sitting with them for 5 minutes, and during the session that you sit with them, during what they I now know was allotted as a 10-minute time, you actually had to ask them to go over their menu and select the foods that they want for the week as well. And that was at least 5 or 6 minutes of the 10 minutes you have, is filling out this form. Then you go out, you get the food, you do it in the computer, you get the people's money and all of that. So now I'm down to literally like 3 or 4 minutes where I can sit with a person and try to extract from them their feelings, their experiences for how things are going in their diet. And it just wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. And it got to the point where I would weigh in someone, I'd sit down with them, and I'd say, so is anything major go on this week? And if they said no, I'm like, okay, well, let's pick out the food for the week. And there was like no counseling going on at all. So a few weeks go by, I fall into this rhythm, and they do training once a month for all employees. You're cycled at different times to go to a training. So I went to this next training after my 30 days, and I expressed my view that, you know, I just feel so much pressure to be racing through the stuff with people, to be grabbing the food, and not really spending any time counseling them. And when we get to the point where they are down to the weight that they want to be, and we are going to start talking about maintenance programs, I said, I'm going to need more time than that. And the response was, you know what? Don't even think about the maintenance aspect yet. That will come on down the road. Right now, your job is to book the people, to be pleasant to them, to weigh them in, to kind of say hi to them, and take their food order and process it. And I'm like, really? That's why I'm here? That's really what you want from me? You know, I have all of this experience. I have all this stuff that I have developed over the years that I would want to share with people. Well, no. You can't say anything outside of what the company manuals tell you to say. You can't go off on your own tangent about anything. You have to stick to what this company says that you should say. So I was pretty bull crapped at that point. I was pretty unhappy. So another week goes by at the company and I'm still doing the same thing. I feel like I'm racing. There are certain clients that I have a rapport with that want to talk more, and I desperately try to find them time where I can fit them in where they're not going to be pushed to this 10-minute conversation at the most. I would block off, you know, a second appointment after them and say, you know what, next time you come, I'll spend some more time with you and we'll talk about this. Even though I knew I would be losing a little bit of money by doing that, by, you know, clearing off the next appointment so that I could still stay with the first appointment. But again, my whole point of working for the company, my whole reason for being there was that I wanted to really share my experience with these people. I didn't want to just sell them food. I mean, that isn't the concept. When you look at the advertisement for this company on television and you see the spokesperson talk and you even hear them say things like, I would never have been able to do it were it not for the support of my consultant so-and-so. That's ridiculous. It's not true. So I had done it for 2 weeks. I was in my third week and my manager came into my office and sat down and said, Joey, I think that you are doing the best job here of anyone, even though you're new, and I want you to go to training to be a sales manager here. And I'm like, well, what is that going to consist of? And they're like, well, you know, we have several programs. We have the initial one to get them in the door, which is lose X number of pounds for X number of dollars. But then we have an annual membership, And the benefits of those are that you get reduced amounts on your food dollar bill the more time people buy. So if they want to become a member for X number of hundreds of dollars, they will get 10% off of their food, 20% off their food. It went along like that. You know, the longer we can keep people here and coming and buying the food, that's our business. So that if we can find ways to keep the people on the programs, then they're going to get food, they're going to lose weight, you're going to get money, we're going to get money, everybody's going to be happy. So I reluctantly accepted the position as a sales manager. I said, well, I'm still going to get to meet with some of my clients that I've developed a rapport with, won't I? And she said, yeah, we'll schedule you some of those, but primarily what you'll do is you will be selling the company on people. You'll learn a particular dialogue to use with them, and you will try to sell them. And I'm like, okay. So I go to another 5 days of training. This is specifically sales training. Part of it was learning how to do the initial presentation with people. And the other half of the week, a good two and a half days, was dealing again with people that had resistance to joining the company. And we worked on ways to reword things, ways to point out to them how they will be, quote unquote, saving money if they join the company. It was all about that. And let me pause for a moment with this and let you know that when a person belonged in a membership to this company, and when they followed the diet the way the diet was designed and bought the food that was part of the diet, everyone did lose weight. They lost generally between 1 and 3 pounds per week, losing more at the beginning, as you do with every diet when you're losing a lot of water and you're just dropping weight fairly quickly, then your metabolism adjusts and slows down a bit and you lose a little less per week. But I will go right on record now to tell you that the diet did work in that respect. But I didn't feel comfortable. And the response was always a very positive, and I'll say a very legal response. In that they said, wouldn't a person who lost weight on our program also benefit to continue to come, continue to have the consultation, continue to purchase some of our food so that they can keep the weight off long term? Isn't that a good idea? And I'm like, you mean after 3 years or 2 years, the people are still going to be buying this food? We're not going to kind of wean them off onto other foods for a maintenance? And again, I got that same response. Don't think about maintenance right now. Yes, we do wean them off. The people end up coming and buying less food, but it's still going to be beneficial to them to belong to this company for 3 years. And your ultimate goal, so that you earn the most money, as well as it's best for the customer, we try to get them on a year program. And if they won't do that, we'll use that minimum one that's advertised, X number of pounds for X number of dollars. So I finished the training of there, and I went back to the company in this new role. And that was about when I started realizing that I wanted to have a cutoff date of when I would leave this company. And I decided I'd finish a 1 year with the company because it really wasn't what I was looking for. But at the same time, I did want the experience and I did want to learn more of the sales techniques, but that I want to use a soft sales technique that I would use in the future for my personal training. I've never been a great salesperson where my personal training is concerned. I always tell people, if you want to train, you come, you pay per visit. If you miss it, we'll reschedule it. There's no charge for the missing the appointment as long as you don't abuse it. I've always been very easy in that respect. And because of that, I've never really been one to say, hey, how about buying some appointments? Hey, let's get you scheduled. I've just never been that kind of person. I've wanted the people to feel that they can come and go as much as they want without any problems from me. But the sales techniques that this company was using was much more aggressive, and we worked more and more on that role-playing of how to overcome negativity. If someone's been on the program for a length of time and they now want to leave the program, what do we do to keep them on the program? It was all about that in these trainings. Let me move from what we did to what the food is all about. In the case of these weight loss companies, I'm going to say that the food that you purchase from them is all processed. Extremely, extremely processed. I'll tell you that when we were training and we were tasting the foods, some of the foods tasted quite good to me. They had a large baked potato with cheese on it. It was the most beautiful baked potatoes I've ever seen. They were perfectly shaped. They were perfect size. They were great. They were real potatoes. They weren't like fake potatoes. The cheese on them, they had broccoli and cheese on them. The broccoli was good. It was a little al dente, which was nice. But the cheese was pretty much like a cheese whizzy kind of cheese, squeezy cheese. But it still tasted good. It was the basic taste was the broccoli and the cheese, the broccoli and the potato, and the cheese was just kind of an extra on top of it. There were a few other items that I did like, but I only liked the things that were frozen, and part of the foods were frozen and part of the foods were boxed on shelves. And when I tasted those, I really didn't find any of them to be appetizing. They were sealed in tight plastic. You had to puncture the plastic, microwave it, and then you got this processed food stuff. And they had like chicken chow mein. They had spaghetti and meatballs. All of these things kind of freeze-dried, and you had to microwave them to bring them back to life. I didn't care for any of those. Some of the frozen products were okay, but as I was interested, I would read the back of the products and read the nutrition label, and it's just chemical, 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 chemical in there. They had fat pulled out, they had sugar pulled out, and therefore, in order for it to taste good, they had to put in artificial sweeteners and other artificial ingredients to make it appetizing, to preserve it, to keep its color. All of the different things that you have to do when you're dealing with extremely processed foods, you have to try to bring them back to at least look like the original state of what you wanted to eat. So in the case of the chicken chow mein, you know, once you microwaved it, you saw some color, you saw a certain texture, a certain taste, but it was low in fat and low in sugar, but it was very high in all of these other non-pronounceable chemicals added into it. So in the case of the food, I wasn't a fan of the processed foods that they sold. In a little bit of support of the company, I will say that at the time that I was getting ready to leave the company, they were just starting to bring in a concept called volumizing, which a lot of different companies use now, volumizing. And what that means is you buy your own vegetables, your own dairy, and you add in other good, natural, real foods in addition to the processed foods that you're purchasing from the company. So food-wise, if you're dieting and you're desperate for decent taste, but you don't want to go the route of real food in small amounts, you want to be able to have a little bit larger amount of diet food. Yeah, you know what? If you're hungry enough, the food's going to taste pretty good, especially the frozen stuff. But if you were to compare it to the taste of regular food, it is never going to taste the same. It just isn't. And the longer you diet and the longer you take yourself off of real food, the better the fake food will taste, because you're desperate. You're hungry. You want a taste of something. You want to try to remember in your palate what those foods that you loved tasted like. And these companies try pretty hard to come as close as possible to what the original taste was. But let there be no mistake that all of this food is processed. It's greatly processed. So let me move on to the maintenance aspect of the programs. And this is what really was the final straw that made me decide I wanted to leave the company. I had some clients at the company that were successfully losing their weight. And generally, in the work that I have done in my personal training with diet, is that when someone starts to get within 10 pounds or so of their goal weight, you begin to talk to them about ways that they're going to maintain the weight once they get there. You're going to be able to get them to increase the amounts of food that they're eating slightly, still working with portion sizes, and they're going to be able to have little extra treats here and there as rewards a little bit more often. But there's a totally different psychological state of mind that you have to deal with when you're now talking about maintenance, which is not going to be the short-term weight loss aspect. It's going to be a long-term lifestyle change. And for many, many people, and it only makes sense that it would, this is the most difficult part for people. It's pretty easy to lose weight and you know, look at the calendar and go, okay, in 2 months, 8 weeks, I can lose this amount of weight and I'm going to be done. I'll be back down to the weight I want to be. And they work through really hard for 2 months and they get that weight off and they're happy. But now what? You can't go back to eating the way you did regularly or you're going to put the weight back on. That's what most people do. So I was very interested in, please talk to me about the maintenance aspect. How do we get them to keep the weight off? And the response, more or less, was, we want them to continue their membership here, continue to buy as much of the food as we can suggest, and just weigh them each week, make sure they're still coming in for their weekly weigh-ins. And when they have gained a little bit of weight back, put them back onto the original program where they will drop their calories down, buy all of our food, and they'll lose the weight again. And then they can go off on their own a little bit again. And if their weight goes up, you put them back on the program so that they lose it. And it was this merry-go-round. There was no end to it. It was circular. It was lose weight, gain a little weight on your own, come back, buy more food, lose weight, da, 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 with no talking to them about how to maintain their weight outside of buying the food for this program. And that just erupted me. I mean, I'm like, you expect people for years to come here and buy this food, and we're not going to teach them how to eat outside of this food once their weight is down? And that was it. I decided, I planned my exit pretty far in advance. I planned it like 4 months ahead of time that I was going to leave. And I was getting certain information that I could in sales techniques during that time that I had remaining at the company, as well as there were certain clients that I had a very good bond with, and I was really trying to push them to get them to where they wanted to be in the last 4 months that I was with the company. I continued to do the once-a-month training. I continued to do really well with the company, but I had it in my mind that I was going to exit, and I gave my notice, I think it was 4 weeks in advance, that I was going to leave. So be aware that if you are going to go with one of these weight loss companies that you see advertised on TV, that one of the key things, and each of them say it or it's in print if you look, and it will always say weight loss not typical. Because the person that they're showing you on the screen that has lost, I've lost 80 pounds on such and such a program, That's not what the average person will lose. The average person will, like any diet, do fairly well for a few weeks, and then they begin to get a little bit less interested in following it to the letter. They get a little bored. Perhaps the finances get a little tighter. And so they start to bring their own food back into it, and then slowly, eventually, they're gone. They don't come to the company anymore. And we're supposed to get on the phones and say, why aren't you coming to us anymore? We've missed you. We have this new program. And there was no way of keeping these people informed enough to be able to keep the weight off long term without participating in the programs and the food that was offered. So when you see it advertised on TV, yes, you will probably lose 1 to 3 pounds per week. I can almost guarantee that. The way it's designed, if you follow it, you're going to lose. But you're going to try to be pushed onto programs that are a lot more money than what you see advertised on there. You know, if they say X number of pounds for X number of dollars, yes, you can get that if you push for it, but they're going to try to sell you a bigger membership, a longer membership. Food-wise, if you get the 3 meals and 2 snacks a day that they suggest, your food bill is going to be around $125 or so at the company. At least, well, let me say, at least 12 years ago it was. Probably, obviously, more now. Maybe it's closer to $150 a week. I'm not sure. But you do pick out the foods that you want, and each of the foods have a price to it. So if you were trying to keep your money down and not spend a huge amount per week on the food, you could select the food items that were the least money. But surprise, surprise, those are also the ones that are the least taste. The frozen items that are the best, that are really pretty good quality, even though they're intensely chemically treated, they're going to be the higher priced ones. So the average I was doing was somewhere between 110 and 125 on the food. And plus, on top of that, you are supposed to be buying your own fruits and vegetables and dairy. And on top of that, you have to make sure you have your membership going with the program. So it's not a cheap deal. It's not a cheap deal. If you have worked with a bunch of diets and have had no success and you just have no self-discipline, this kind of company might be for you for a while, because you have to go in each week, you have to check in, you do get weighed in, and whether or not you get sufficient counseling at your appointment, you're certainly going to find out what your weight is and find out if it went up or if it went down, and your consultant's at least going to take the time to say, okay, you've gained 3 pounds last week and you had gained 3 pounds the week before, what's going on? And try to work a little bit with you. So for a person that really, really struggles on their own, it's not a bad idea to join one of these companies for a short term. And I would say, no matter what, just like I did on the gym membership podcast I talked about, no matter what they try to tell you, buy the shortest amount of time to start out. See what it's like. See what the food is like. You can always buy the longer program afterwards, no matter what they tell you. No matter what they may say, today only you can get this program. That's crap. Anytime, anyone, anywhere, when says to you, you can get this price today, but that price is not going to be available to you tomorrow, you walk away. You walk away, because that is not the truth. That is a hard sell technique. So buy the shortest amount of time. Try out the foods that you feel that you are going to be most interested in eating. See what that quality is. And just evaluate it, whether or not it seems to be good for you for a short period. I would not do it for more than 2 months, 3 months maximum. If you haven't lost the amount of weight that you want to lose, unless you're excessively overweight, but say you 30, 40 pounds, in 3 months, if you're not pretty far along with that amount of weight, with only a few pounds left to go, that program's not working for you. You should be losing 30 pounds in 90 days. Absolutely. And so if you're not, revisit a different diet. Revisit the way that I talk to you about dieting. I'm not going to say don't join the companies. They can be really good for some people. But let me point out one thing. The particular company that I worked for had a famous spokesperson on the advertisements. And this woman lost a large amount of weight. And it was a very big thing that this famous person lost this amount of weight. And she appeared on a lot of shows about it. She even appeared on Oprah about it. It was a big thing. And then she decided she wanted to leave the company, and she was starting her own side company that was some sort of vitamin weight loss thing. And she gained a lot of weight back because they had not taught her maintenance, of course. She was trying to push her own product, and after a matter of time of a few years, nothing was happening. She is now back to being the spokesperson yet again. And she's back being the spokesperson, and she's lost like 50 pounds again. Yes, so you can see the diet works if you follow it, but you can't stay on it long term. And there's not enough talk about maintenance to what you're going to do when you finish with the program. So naturally, you're going to go back and eat the way you used to, because you haven't been taught to eat differently. You've just been taught, buy this food, eat this food. Don't worry about the calories. Don't worry about the nutrients. We will take care of all of that for you. Here's the food, eat it. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, you'll lose weight. But how can you maintain after you leave the company if you have been taught nothing about how to build your own nutritious meals? So if you want to go that route, try it out, but try it out that shortest term membership that you can. But you don't have to go to those companies. I refer you back to some of the earlier diet podcasts that I have done, where I outlaid a very basic, very nutritious, very medically sound diet. It's not a bunch of weird things. It's not high chemicals. It's not buy this shake or buy this bar. I don't tell you to buy any particular thing. I tell you how to go about finding the portion sizes and the nutrients that you need daily, and how that puts together in a week-long umbrella overview of what you eat for a week and how you will lose generally about 2 pounds per week if you follow that. So I'm not trying to sell you my food. I'm not trying to sell you any particular products. I'm just trying to say, come back to the basics. There's so much out there of these crazy diets, like the paleo diet and the Atkins that's making a resurgence again. These crazy things that you don't have to make dieting so complicated that you just want to pull your hair out and give up. Dieting is easier than you think it is. Sometimes the motivation is a bit difficult to stay with, and we'll address that more in the next couple of podcasts about how to take care of staying motivated, staying excited about the goal that you're going to reach when you finish your dieting. But it doesn't have to be this big, elaborate, try this product and balance it this way. And there was even a diet out. I don't hear much about it anymore, but it was a diet based on your blood type. A diet based on your blood type. Come on, really? And people buy that. Oh, that sounds really good. Haven't heard that before. I'm of a rare blood type. I'm B negative. Why not get a special diet for the B negative people? Why? Because you don't need a diet for B negative people. That's why. You need the basic sound components of nutrition, portion sizes, and spreading your meals throughout the day. And that's it. That is it. Easy, easy, easy. It's just the learning to say no is a little bit difficult. And we'll deal with that more in the next few podcasts. We'll deal with motivation and inspiration and how to keep yourself on track. In the meantime, if you want to check out one of those companies, keep in mind to just go on a tour, see what it's all about. Don't sign up the first day. Maybe go back again and join for the short amount of time and see what's going to happen. Meanwhile, we will continue each week with a new podcast. If you have not had a chance to subscribe, please do so. You can do it through the blog. It's much easier now to find subscribe. And if you do it via iTunes, please subscribe. And I'd love you to take just a moment to give a star rating. You don't have to put in any information at all. You just click whatever star you'd like, 1 through 5, preferably 5, and leave a comment if you want. This has been the 69th episode of what is now the Life After 30 podcast. My disclosure is going to follow immediately. If you have not had a chance to hear it, please do so. It is quite important. This is Joey Hernandez signing off. Talk to you very soon. Thanks for joining me. Take care. Bye now. Hey folks, Joey Hernandez here of the Human Construction Site podcast, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Human Construction Site podcast. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.